The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. It's a long gospel reading, so I'm going to ask you to be seated. You might hear it better when you're more relaxed and when you're seated. So now listen to the word of God. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate which is coming to me." And so the father divided up his property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off for a distant land where he squandered all his inheritance on dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to take care of his pigs. And he longed to eat even the pods which were food for the swine, but nobody gave him anything to eat. Coming to his senses at last, he thought, "How many in my father's house, hired hands, have more than enough to eat, and here I am hungry? I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" And so he got up and he went back to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him, and he was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, he embraced him, and he kissed him. But his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But the father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring out the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and kill it. Then let us celebrate with a feast. This son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and he is found." And then the celebration began. The older son, meantime, out on the field, on his way back, heard the music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what that might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf, because he has him back safe and sound." And he became angry, and he refused to enter the house. But his father came out and pleaded with him. But he said in reply to his father, "All these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me such, even a young goat, to feast with my friends. When this son of yours returns, having swallowed up all your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatted calf." But he said to him, "My son, you are here with me always, and everything I have is yours. But we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and he is found." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel is very familiar to us, and we call it the Gospel of the Prodigal Son, which in a way is a misunderstanding of the teaching of the Gospel. So allow me to look at this with you. It comes from the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, and it's very consistent with the Jesus portrayed by Luke in his gospel. Only Luke has chapter 10, the Good Samaritan, remember that? Chapter 15, the prodigal son. Chapter 19, only Luke tells us about two men went up to the temple to pray. One a tax collector, a sinner at the back. Up front was this Pharisee that began to proclaim all the good things he did. And the man at the back said, "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am a sinner." And it says, God preferred the sinner than the self-righteous. Then look up at chapter 23 in Luke's gospel, the only gospel that tells us how Jesus welcomes the man crucified next to him. "This day you will be with me in paradise." Only in Luke. And only Luke has Jesus forgiving those who crucified him. So you can tell the Lucan Jesus is very gracious, very kind, and an example for us of how we are to be followers of Jesus Christ. So let me look at the text of today's gospel. It begins, that story is prompted by the fact that the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious people, the religious leaders of the time, complained because Jesus ate with tax collectors who were reviled, socially reviled, and public sinners. That violates all the canons and all the practices of religion in the time of Jesus. He's not allowed to break bread and have a meal with public sinners and with tax collectors. They make a judgment about that. And in response to them, Jesus tells this parable. It's about conversion. It's not about the conversion of the tax collectors and the public sinners. They come to Jesus because they know they need conversion. The religious leaders need conversion, but they don't know it. That happens. So Jesus said, "Let me tell you a parable." He tells the parable about this father. He had two sons, an elder and a younger, they're called in the story. He lost both his sons. The younger one rebelled and said, "Give me what's coming to me," and he left home. Broke the family. The elder son, he stayed at home, but he wasn't at home. He stayed at home, but he was angry, separated from his father by anger. The father lost both his sons. And in the poverty of his failure, in the awareness that he had lost his family, he went through a conversion. He changed. He was a controlling, demanding father, lost his sons, and now in his crisis, he goes through a change, and he becomes the image of Jesus, the incarnation of Jesus' love and care for those who were lost. It's the conversion of the father, not the conversion of the sons, which is the teaching of this parable. So let me look at this. The two sons are gone. The younger son goes off and squanders his inheritance. And then he decides he's empty, he's homeless, and he's hungry. So he thinks, "I better go home." Now he has reached the bottom of the pit. He's Jewish, and he wants to eat the food that belongs to the pigs. Can you imagine? The Jewish man wants to eat the pig's food? That's the lowest. But he says, "I will go home, and I will have enough food at home." Doesn't say he's sorry. Says he's hungry and he's homeless. So he sets out for home. And on his way, when he's far off, his father, who is now converted, sees him, and he runs out to meet him. The son says, "Father, treat me like one of your..." He doesn't listen. This love is unconditional. Put shoes on his feet. Way back to the time of slavery, African Americans had this spiritual, "I got shoes. I got shoes, you got shoes. All God's children got shoes. When I get to heaven, I'm going to dance with my shoes." Slaves didn't have shoes. Put shoes on his feet. Lift him out of slavery. Put a robe on him. Restore his sonship. Not just forgiving him, healing him. Restore his sonship. Put a ring on his finger. That's a Visa card. It's a signet ring he can sign for his father. He gives him the power of the son, the identity of the son, the healing of the son, and the power, the fullness of power as a son. Unconditional, after the image of Jesus. And now the elder son, out on the fields, is coming back, and he hears this. The father goes out to him. He doesn't wait for him to come. He goes out to him. But he's angry, and he's the father. "I have worked for you all these years. I never disobeyed one of your orders, yet you never gave me anything to celebrate with my friends." He's embittered. He's angry. But the father said, "My son," he said, "my son, everything I have is yours. My son, everything I have is yours, but we had to celebrate. My family is back together. We had to celebrate." The unconditional love of God, he goes out to meet him. Where the son's converted, it has nothing to do with the story. It was the father that was converted, not the sons. Now, at this point, I like to remember a story that I've told before, but it's very important. So I'm going to repeat this. My good friend of many, many years, a real soul friend, very, very close, is dying of cancer. All his family was together except one son. And this son had wandered away from the family, had disappointed him, had separated, and he was kind of like one of these sons who was gone. And this man was dying. And I went to see him every day. And he said, "I can't die in peace because my son is missing." So we prayed about that. And then one day, shortly before he died, I went to see him. And he said, "I'm peaceful. I can die in peace now. I have figured it out." I said, "Tell me." He said, "He's my son." He's my son. That's all that matters. Everything else is secondary. That's after his conversion. The wound is healed. The dying man is converted. And he died in peace. Later on, I must say parenthetically, because of the love of the father, the son in due time is reconciled and becomes a living part, a leader in the family. So what does this mean to us? Michael Casey, a Trappist monk from Australia, A prolific writer, written many books, but his recent book called Grace, A Journey Toward God. And in this book, following the document from the Second Vatican Council, The Church in the Modern World, he proposes this. He said the church should never be restricted by the institutional boundaries which define it. The church is not the boundaries, it's not the institution. The church is the people of God. The church is the tax collectors, the sinners, the struggling people, the people who question things, the people who wonder, the people who walked away. The people are the church. And therefore, our mission, is the church missionary or is it maintenance? I have heard it said, we will be a smaller church, but we'll be very orthodox. That's a maintenance church. But it's very clear in the documents of the council and in the whole ecclesiology tradition of the church. The church is missionary. The church has to go out to meet the younger son, to meet the elder. The church has to welcome tax collectors and sinners. This is the church. The wounded, struggling people, this is the church. We have to become a missionary church. You know, we wonder, it said to me, I wonder if the people will come to church now after the pandemic. Wrong question. The question is, will the church come to the people? Will we meet the people in their wounds and their struggling, in their questions, in their wonderment, in their separation, in their disillusionment? Will we meet them where they are? Put shoes on their feet, put a robe on them, put a ring on their finger, and empower them to belong to the family of Jesus Christ. I think that's our mission, your mission, my mission. Pope Francis, speaking about priests, said, you must have the smell of the sheep. I've written journals on that. What does this mean? I must have the smell of the sheep. I must belong to the humanity of the sheep. I must know what it is to have failure in my life. I must know what it means to ask for forgiveness. I must be caught sometimes in doubt, in failure. I must be caught in wondering and questioning. To belong to the people, to belong to the tears of the people, the questions, the wondering, the disillusionment of the people. The priest must belong to the sheep, must have the smell of the sheep, must have a humanity. That's what it means to be a missionary church. That's the teaching of this parable. It's not a teaching about the conversion of the sons. It's a conversion of the Father. And it's spoken to the church leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes, who are judgmental about people, saying, you belong and you don't belong. And Jesus says, for people who are judgmental like that, for people who are legalistic, for people who are not open to all are welcome, let me tell you, a parable. And the parable is about conversion. Not the conversion of the people, the conversion of the leaders. So listen to this. This is the mission of the church, to touch people's lives, to embrace people with unconditional, infinite love, to speak this gospel, to live this gospel, to give flesh and blood to this gospel in our families, in our communities, in our churches. It's the only way in which this gospel reading has power. It's the only way in which this gospel reading will give life, will lift up the church and say, The church is the people of God, tax collectors, sinners, struggling people, people who are out there and are presumed institutionally they don't belong. They are God's people. We are all God's people. So feel the embrace of Jesus Christ. Feel the call to break bread with Jesus Christ, to belong to the Lord. Not that you have to qualify. To belong to the Lord in your humanity, in your struggles, in your doubts, in your questions, to say, I'm all mixed up. I'm not sure where I'm going. But one thing I am sure of, God's infinite love embraces me. Amen.